grace of God. Now I'm saved today. See, the sinners in the Bible need good news because they have no hope. And a sinner, even in this room today, the gospel's good news because God saves us. Right, everybody? Amen. And so sinners need Christ in their lives today. My life before Christ wasn't worth a nickel. It didn't amount to anything. I was this reject in school. When I was in charge, I looked around at who I was in charge, and they were all nerds like me, but I was the king of the nerds. I remember one time all the nerds that I was with, we were wanting to be picked. It was like third grade. I still remember, I don't have a good this memory, but you remember things that kind of hurt you but make you the man that you are now. And me and David Pogue, if you're listening, man, hit me up. I've been looking for you on Facebook, but I don't know where you're at. David Pogue, man, third grade, Park Village Elementary. We're there on the playground. They're picking everybody. And they're getting down to the last couple of people to pick. And there I am standing with David Pogue. And I don't know why they didn't choose David. He was pretty athletic. But me, you know, my size, I was challenged and that sort of thing. And, man, we were the last two guys to get picked. And it's kind of like, You get Nava, I'll get Pogue, and it was kind of like, where are we? But I remember before we got picked, there was this like long pause, and David Pogue spoke the gospel to me. And he said this to me, he said, we're rejects. You may have always gotten picked, man, but I wasn't that way. My life just was not leadership oriented. If anything, I was following, and I just didn't have anything within me like, so, but God came looking for me. But God came looking for me in that darkness. He changed my life, and he brought me into the light. I'm thankful that God not only searched for me, but in the Old Testament, he searched for Rahab. Talk about a life that wasn't right. She lived within the walls of Jericho. The walls were so thick that chariots raced on top of the walls. You talk about some protection. Her apartment was built within the wall. That's how big, humongous walls were. And she had a family, so I have to think there was some bedrooms. They weren't all sleeping in one room. So it was a massive fortress that they were surrounded as Joshua. In Joshua's story, are you there at Joshua chapter 2, verse 1? Yes? Thank God all five of you have it. Let's go on then. I'll wait for all the rest of you to get it. And then Joshua, the son of Nun, he secretly sent these spies into the city, and they go out, and he said, I want you especially to look at Jericho, because that's a stronghold, and we got to get through that. We're going to have to study that strategically, and we want God's hand upon it. So they went, and they entered the house of a what? Am I in church today? So a prostitute named Rahab, and they stayed there. And so do you notice something? Rahab wasn't searching for them. God was searching for her to write her story as God searches for you and I. The spy said, there's an open window. Let's go through it. And they wound up in a home with a family. And her night was a streetwalker. Her income was pleasuring men. And she got paid for it. And that's where they stayed. God is still searching for you to rewrite your story even in this month. The book of Revelation says that God is knocking on the door. He's not a bully. He's a gentleman, and he's knocking. You've heard that. And he wants you to open the door, because he could push it down. He's God. He could beat down the door, but God waits for you to open, because give me the pen. I can do a better job. He's telling every one of us in this room today, would you stop writing your own story? Even the Christians in this room that are serving with me today, I believe God wants you to move up a level of commitment today. As I speak this, and there's always a new level to go into God, right? There's always something that you got to grow for today. Isn't it time? Isn't it time that you begin to lead? Isn't it time that those that are just attending now belong to the house of God? Isn't it time today that you would move up? God has a great plan for your life, and he has chosen you, and he's appointed you. God makes a way for us to be in a story. I'm going to switch the story, because the story that I told in the first service, they didn't receive it so well. But it's kind of like this motion picture. And a motion picture, one of the greatest motion pictures ever made was Rocky. The one that he won the Academy Award, not Rocky 15. Creed's a pretty good one too. Now he's going to Creed, another storyline. He just doesn't, thank God for Sylvester Stallone. But Rocky has a bunch of good scenes in it. Won the Academy Award, I believe, in 1976. Amen. Makes us keep looking younger, right? And when he won that, you know, one of the scenes in there, Creed comes in there and he's flamboyant. And he's, you know, bouncing around. He says, I want you. I want you. Come on, Stallion. Come on. Come on. You know, he's doing that. And you know, Rocky looks at him and he's getting ready to fight. And he's with Mick, you know, Burgess Meredith plays an incredible role as Mick, his manager. And he goes, man, Rocky goes, man, that guy's great, you know, because he's about to fight him. And he's overwhelmed by the flamboyant Creed. And he goes, and Mickey says, ah, come on, Rock, you're great too. You can do it, Rock. You know, and he's cheering him on. And that's a great motion picture. And I kind of think it's like kind of like our role in Rocky. And most of us would say, well, I'm Stallone, man, I'm Rocky. I'm at least Creed, because you think too much of yourself, right? Some of y'all are Adrian, you know, the girl, Talia Schreier. You want to be her, yeah. You're not even that. I'm not even Mick, the coach today. Come on, Rock. I'm not, you know what I am? I'm this bit player in all of eternity in Rocky One. I'm in the audience, and they pan the audience, and I have a Rocky sign, maybe. Go Rocky. That's all. And they, for 1 second, you see, that's me. I tell my grandchildren, I was in Rocky. In all of eternity, see, we already had a Moses. We already had this guy build a boat in a desert, and his name was Noah. You're not going to outdo Noah, but you can be humble enough to say, God, I just want to be in your plan. God, I just want to be a bit player. I want to be in the audience, God. I want to be as the camera comes by, that's me holding an apple. You know, I get to have that one little part. That's where I get, because in all of eternity, time marches on. We're just a little speck in this thing. But you're included in God's story. Aren't you glad? You ought to bless the Lord that you're in Rocky 1. Give me a good amen. Not Rocky 5, amen, but Rocky 1 today, amen. How about Barbershop 1? At least, not Barbershop 2, Barbershop 3. Is there you don't want to be in. God, rewrite your story. You'll get it later, amen. And the spies go into her house, and they hang out there, and they're hidden. They're searching for him. And they tell them, the spies tell her, don't tell them that we're here. And so she lies for Jesus. You can tell a lie for Jesus, right? Y'all are too serious, amen. There's a greatest redemptive story, amen. I'm just having, Joshua chapter 2 on the big screen. Now the men said to her, this is the oath that you made us swear. Will you be binding us or less? When we enter the land, we want you to tie, this thing's coming down. The walls are going to come down. But we want you to tie this scarlet thread, this rope that you brought us into that we're going to let us down now. Hang it over and hang it, put it in your ceiling, your window, and just don't tape it there. Bind it. Don't put some tape across that thing, sticky tack. I want this thing stuck there. Because the family's going to get saved. It relies on everything that cord is there. And the blood of Jesus that's red, we need that thing to save our family. You need it today to save that husband. You need it today to heal that son today. It just can't be stuck there with a piece of tape. It has to be that. That's how important the blood is in our home today. Right, everybody? That's how important that we treat God in our home today. Washington is not threatening my home or your home. The city of, the community, the mayor is not threatening my home. The people down the street aren't a threat to my home. You know what's a threat to my home? I am. You are. What takes place in your home is a threat. That's why the blood of Jesus needs to be in your home. Will it go through the blood? Will what you do Friday night and Saturday night go through the blood? Well, he's so lost in my home. What have you allowed in your home? Because it won't go through the blood. If it goes through the blood, it gets cleansed. There's a lot of stuff. No. That is stuck here. That is staying here. Some of y'all don't. You're going to get your victory right now if you receive it, a mild rebuke. But all that mess is happening in your home, in your grandchild's life, because you've allowed stuff to come in and you've removed the cord from your life. You got to be in agreement with me this day. God will heal your home. God will heal your generation. Just keep the blood in your home today, right, everybody? He rewrites your future. Give me a good amen. You're doing good, Mario. I'm glad I brought the Holy Spirit, amen, with me today, right, everybody? And he says, tie the cord, which represents today the blood of Jesus, in the window if you let us down. But if you tell what we're doing, then we'll be released of the oath today. And look at this beautiful part where it says, somebody said, she said, agreed. Somebody shout agreed. She replied, let it be as you say. The power of agreement with believers coming together is powerful right there. Just get this with your heart right now. Get it right now, and it will be a powerful agreement. Alex mentioned a moment ago, just as she's agreed with other believers, that God has saved her workplace. All the patients that she sees now are being healed because there's agreement. Let it be so that they're going to be healed by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Douglas Cochran, it's your birthday today. Happy birthday. Several months ago, my brother was fallen, and we all agreed that he would not die, but he would live, right, everybody? Yeah. And so we made an agreement, the blood of Jesus heals them by the stripes of Christ, and we would not let the cord go. We kept it tied on day after day. And today, instead of a funeral, can I be that dangerous? Instead of a funeral, we're having a birthday party. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We give it. Jesus was the one that died on the cross. Yeah. He was the one that made a way for healing for our lives. The blood of Jesus, there's agreement for believers. It's our secret weapon today that we can have, that God can change our homes. Why don't you gather together with a believer today before you leave church? Or at the sound of my voice, I'm agreeing with your prayer that you're whispering from your heart. I'm agreeing that that man is coming out of his bondage of addiction. I'm agreeing that that man is not an alcoholic and he lives and declares the word. I'm agreeing that your son, I'm agreeing. Does anybody have a prayer? I'm agreeing that your daughter is made whole today. I'm agreeing right now with those on Facebook that you're not grieving anymore. You're coming out of your grief cycle today and you're turning that grief into joy today. Morning comes right now. Thank God today. Right, everybody? Rahab's story shows that God spared. God rewrites a story. God's movie rewrites a story, and he gives a better ending than you can ever give today, right? Saves her from destruction. If you don't like the story being written, then give it to God. You don't need another marriage. You don't need another husband, wife. You don't need another degree, maybe. You don't need another job. Nothing will change because you'll still take that person into the same job. You need the blood. You need God in your home today. You need God in your workplace. God has this way of turning light, darkness into light, doesn't he, today? Amen. And Rahab's line has changed. Her ancestry's changed. And she becomes like the 28th great-grandma of Jesus because she lived for God. God's story always has this redemptive ending. Redemption just means it's better than I could ever imagine. God's story in my life was better than I could ever imagine. I never saw you when I planted the church in my living room with my wife. We would get home and to vacuum our home, and we were renting a home in Leon Valley. We'd vacuum real fast so you could come in and be there after our workplaces. We would get there after our workplaces. Our children were still little. We'd clean up the garage because that was our children's church. Thank God for the summertime and the AC in that garage. I never knew that you'd come. See, it's better than I ever imagined because I see you now. That's redemption. If I would have given up, I would have never saw God's story. I would have never saw the story of beauty in this room. 42 generations happen in the begats in Matthew's chronological thing of Jesus, and it's this begat, they begat, and most of us just run right through that because it's kind of boring, isn't it? I'm being honest in church, and just give me, when Jesus is walking on water, or he's multiplying some fish, at least that way I stay awake and I don't fall asleep when I read. 42 generations, but Matthew does something different when he talks about the begats. He gives all the grandfathers of Jesus, and then all of a sudden, he sticks four grandmas in there. Now, if you're like me, my grandmother was a santita, kind of in Mexican, as a Mexican here. I don't know about you other people in here, but our mama doesn't do anything wrong. And if you talk about mama, you're going to fight, right? Grandma's even an I mean, she even goes up higher like that. She, the Virgin Mary, then grandma, right? Everybody, Santa Grandma, amen? And nothing gets said about grandma, but these grandmas, like probably your grandma, had some history. Because you didn't see your grandma when she was 15. Aren't you glad? You don't want to laugh because we saw you when you were 15. And you're going to be a grandma one day. But aren't you glad for redemption? Thank you, Jesus, man. They don't remember what I did in fifth grade. They wouldn't let me up here preaching if they knew what I did. Yeah. In Matthew 1:3-5. Judah was the father of Perez. There, it proves there's some Mexican in Jesus, right, everybody? And Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Now, if you want to look at a dark story, go to Genesis 28 when we leave, and tonight do a devotion on Tamar. It just shows how you think God's far away, how God can redeem. But this was the grandma of Jesus. Salmon, which is the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, we're learning about her right now. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, was just this outsider, wasn't even a Jewish person. She was a Gentile. And they would name those people, just they weren't second class back in the Old Testament, New Testament. David was the father of Solomon. And they don't even name the sister, but they said whose mother was Uriah's wife. Imagine the guilt that this lady Bathsheba, which was her name, felt. Man, I had this affair with the king, and he put my husband on the front line so he could die, and now the king has taken me as his wife. That's a messed up family, isn't it? That's something that you could see on the Kardashians, maybe, right? Amen? I mean, really? She married him, married another basketball player? No, anyway, let me move ahead because y'all don't know what I'm talking about today. Why would that even be in there? Why would Matthew put that in there, Matthew 1, 3, 5, and 6? Why would he? Because Matthew was this tax collector, and he was in this thing called organized crime. And he would wait for people and collect tax and take bribes and put more tax on people, and he would do it and pay off people, and it was just, he was in the mafia then. So he said, you know what? Because I have a background, but I've been redeemed, I'm going to put all the people, I'm going to study this thing hard enough that I'm going to put people that have a background and have baggage just like I do. And it shows God's redemption and his ending. Your story doesn't have to stay the same right now. It can change by God's hand. God will forgive the darkest sin that's in that closet, just like he did Tamar. God will use you regardless of your past, just like, somebody say, Rahab. God will include you even if you're a reject, and even if you get picked last, even if you're not part of the in club, God won't leave you out of his story, just like he did in Ruth, right, everybody? God can heal any family situation, dysfunctional, whatever it might be, just like he did Bathsheba today. He can turn it around, and God wants to include you, beloved, in his story. Amen. You ought to give God praise right now. Thank you, God, you included me. You didn't have to. God wants you to know that he includes you in this story today. Right, everybody? Rahab had, man, Pastor, you're not even to the notes yet. Amen. I'm just warming up. Is that okay with everybody? I'm about to finish. Here's one. God invites you. Her words, as she's coming down from the grandstand, as she's speaking, you, God invites you to be part of his story. So you ought to join him, right, everybody? Amen. Say yes to Jesus. Amen. See, all through the thing that I've been appealing to you with about receiving Christ, your heart's racing, some of us in this room. You're saying, I need to receive Christ as my Savior. I've been so far away from God. And you keep pushing God away. And God is saying, no, I'm not pounding the door down, but I am knocking. Would you let me in? Would you receive me? Would you stay? You're staying so far away from me. Today's the day you come close. When they preached to me about salvation, I thought I was always born again because I just started going to this Bible study. And so 6 months down the road, after going to this Bible study, everybody was saved. And then they were telling me, well, it began when I began this prayer, when I said, Lord, forgive me of my sins because I've sinned. Wash me clean. And I kind of thought, did I ever say that? And then they preached about hell in that Bible study, in that home church. And they talked about these gnats, or not these gnats, these maggots that would eat people up in hell. That's the way they preached it. And they would eat, and then these people would commit suicide in hell, but they would come back to life like zombies over and over. And you would never stop the flames from consuming you. It was like torture 24/7. And when they preached that to me, I didn't want to go there. How many of you know that Mario's kind of smart, right? I don't want to go there. And I said, did I do that prayer? Because these people that I'm with right now, I didn't. Did I make it official? And I wanted fire insurance. And so I said that night, before everybody left, we were getting ready to say goodbye to everybody. Remember, we were in the parking lot waving goodbye. Bye, hermano so-and-so. Bye, brother. And the pastor of the group, I said, Pastor, I don't know what is going on, but I was a kid, man. And I said, I think I need that second touch. You know, the blind guy that touched Jesus touched and he saw people like trees. He said, I said, maybe I need a second touch. And man, I even had a first touch. I said, I need to be saved. And he led me in a prayer, and it was a simple prayer. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean. And as I prayed that prayer, I felt like this oppression leave, like 1,000 pounds left me off of my back. And I never forgot that. And then the next day, believe it or not, you know, I realized, man, I'm saved. I woke up saved. And I looked out the window. I was 13 years old. And I looked out the window, and it was so sunny. It was bright. It was summertime. It's hot out there. It was July. And I thought, man, this is how it feels to be saved. This is how it feels to be redeemed. I bought the fire insurance, but I didn't stay there. I became a disciple of Jesus. And thank God for the fire insurance, but that's not why I love God and I follow God. How about you? I follow God because there's a redemption story in my life today, just like there is yours today, right? And so the Bible says this in Luke chapter 9. Let's read it together. You haven't had any fun all day. You on the big screen, you on the internet right now, read it. It's on the big screen today. Let's read it together, everybody, on three. One, two, three, go. Then he said to them all, whomever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. And whoever loses their life for me, it's going to look like you're going to jump out of that plane without a parachute. It's going to look like you're going to walk across the bridge and there's no plank left, but you keep walking, because if you lose your life for me, it's going to be saved. And that's the way it is with faith today, right, everybody? You need to join Jesus. Give God your life. He can do more with it than you can. But you got to give them, come on, business person, give them your business, right? Come on, student, give them your life today and academics today. Mama in this room, give them your children. Some of you say, he can take them. Amen. give them that today. It's a lot better story with God. Amen. I'm just reminding you how much God loves you. God wants to surprise you with his love. So accept him. Somebody say, accept him. Rahab is shocked. Why me? I'm a prostitute. I'm the city whore. Why me? But there's no place that God won't keep reaching, because his love is so relentless. God's love keeps reaching no matter how bad you've been or no matter how good you've been, because it never adds up. It's not good enough. But his love pursues you today. One of my favorite movies that's on practically every week is called The Shawshank Redemption. Good movie, right? You can say amen in church. You can say, yeah, I'm not going to judge you. Amen. Yeah, it's a good movie. You know, you got to say, I rebuke you a couple of times and because of what they cuss and all that. But it tells the story of Andy Dufresne, played by Tim Robbins. And he's wrongly accused and he's sentenced to life terms for committing a crime that he didn't commit. They said, you killed your wife. When he gets to Shawshank Prison, he's befriended by Red, was played by Morgan Freeman. Doesn't Morgan Freeman have a voice like God? If God was, that's how Morgan speaks. And so Morgan gives him the I'm about to show you this great clip on Shawshank, so you're going to want to see it. I'll show you a bit, so I can keep you awake, okay? And Andy, you know, gets favor with the jail, the warden that's corrupt, and he gets this library. And the library, at the library scene, he's going through these records, LPs and albums, and he finds this, because he's a guy that was a banker, so he's this finer taste than the rest of the convicts, and he finds this Italian woman singer singing this great operatic song voice, and he can't wait to hear it because he probably remembers in his old day when he wasn't behind the prison wall, how he could play this music in maybe his house, his nice house that he had. Now he's in a prison cell. And it sets him free. And he begins to play this song out loud. And notice what happens in the prison when he begins to play this song out loud. Let's watch it.
Andy, do you hear that?
This day what those two Italian ladies were singing about. Truth is, I don't want to know. Some things are best left unsaid. I like to think they were singing about something so beautiful it can't be expressed in words and makes your heart ache because of it. I tell you, those voices soared higher and farther than anybody in a great place dares to dream. It was like some beautiful bird flapped into our drab little cage and made those walls dissolve away. And for the briefest of moments, every last man at Shawshank felt free. It pissed the warden off something awful.
Open the door. Open it up! Dufresne, open this door! I am warning you, Dufresne, turn that off!
All right, Faith, I want you to keep playing the song of God for your life today. I want you to keep, see, the enemy is saying, shut that thing down, shut up. But God is saying, man, keep playing that music, keep playing that song, keep telling the story that God is doing through your life. Freedom comes before beauty. And God, the enemy of your soul, will come and he'll try to stop you from doing what you're doing. You're redemptive. You're meant to have a redemption in your end today. Everyone in this room today, the story shouldn't end the way it's being written right now. God wants to have freedom in your life today. And a beautiful story, a beautiful song can be said from you today. Amen, in your life today, if you put it in God's hands. In Hebrews, I need to finish here. Hebrews 4:15, the Message Bible. We don't have this priest that's out of touch with our reality. I don't know what you're going through. You went through that? No, he's been through every weakness. He's been at every funeral. He's been at every surprise of what they told you, testing. He experienced it all, but he didn't sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is ready to give. And this is what he's ready to give. I love that last phrase. Somebody say, take mercy. Take the mercy and accept the help from God because he's willing to give it to you. I need to run right into something and annihilate it. You're so proud in this room because you've hardened your heart so hard today. And this is just, didn't do this for the first service, and I'm not, just somebody needs to receive this. So I'm going to look straight towards the exit door because I can run out if you don't like it. Amen. You're so proud, and God is coming to you with his love, and he's pursuing you. Would you let the barrier and the wall down today so God can do something even in the final part of your life? You still have time for a redemptive end today if you allow God to touch your life today. Take the mercy. Don't be so proud and accept the help today. Amen. God just doesn't want to stop there. God doesn't just say, I'm going to fix you. God wants to do this. The second thought is this. God wants you to love others with your help, with your actions. So somebody say, serve him. Rahab could have said, this is my best moment. My family saved and everybody else in Jericho is dead but us. Now we're following, going to the promised land. I got my rooster chicken. We're all going, man. All the children are going. But she said, no, it didn't end there. I got to serve the Lord. I got to serve God's people with God's people. I got to go into the promised land. And that's how it is with serving our God. God is waiting for some of us to step up and to serve him because it's your best hour. God wants you to love others through your actions and serve him today. God uses the grief and darkness that we have in our lives to help others. Your mess becomes a message, doesn't it? Yeah, I can testify to that. So can you. If you had not known that, how would you help other people? God uses people that are messed up. Abraham was old, and God used him. Right? Jacob was insecure, and God used him. Leah was unattractive, and God used her. Joseph was abused. Moses stuttered. Gideon was poor. Samson was codependent. David had an affair and had all sorts of problems in his family. Elijah, he was suicidal. God used him. Jeremiah, he was bipolar, and they didn't have medicine back then for that. Poor brother, give me a good amen. Yeah. Jonah was reluctant. Naomi was a widow. Peter was impulsive. Martha worried a lot. Can I include, who? Can we find ourselves in the pages of the Samaritan woman had several failed marriages. Thomas had many doubts, and God still used him, right, everybody? Timothy was timid. Paul had this past that wouldn't let him go. It kept haunting him. He wrote about it in the Bible. All these misfits were used by God. What can God do in your life today? You need to stop making excuses. God can still use you today. In 1 John 3:16, the 1 John 3:16, read it together on three. Are you with me? Yeah? On three, one, two, three, go. This is how we know what love is. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If this is where you have your brothers and sisters, and if all you say is, I love living faith, but you never do anything, I have to think you're not doing God's word, right? It's beyond just attending, it's belonging. Right? You're part of the, hey, you're one of the boys. It's a family. We do things together. Don't look at me so judgmental. Come on, I'm preaching to you. Yeah. You ought to be a small group leader this summer because you love the house of God. You ought to serve in the children's ministry because that's what brothers do. Amen. You love, you're, hey, I'm not just going to say it, I'm going to do it. Right, everybody? Your story becomes great when you serve. The great Martin Luther King, Dr. Martin Luther King, says this on the big screen. Everyone can be great because anyone, a child can bring a glass of water. Right, everybody? Yeah. This past Wednesday, 50 loaves of bread were baked fresh by HEB. They put them in saran wrap for us. Pan francés. Man, it was... We did communion before we went out, so we got a loaf that was kind of broken. It was chapa. It was kind of like twisted. So we used that loaf, and we broke. Man, it was delicious. I took a big piece of bread. Amen. I don't know what... It wasn't a little piece. It was a meal, what I took a big chunk out of it. And we went out. We prayed. We took communion together. It was powerful. We said, God, send us to the right people at Marbach Manor that will open the door for us as we knock, and we give free bread away. One of the servants of the Lord said this. He said, you know, when you're knocking on a door, and it was just like that, because when I went up, there was this guy waiting at the top flight of the stairs, and as soon as he saw me coming, he kind of ran. And he was a lot bigger than me, and I didn't have a bodyguard behind me. You know, Brian Duncan wasn't behind me. I mean, so I could have seen him run. It was just me. And he ran, and then I said, hey, you know, and he spoke nothing but Spanish, so my chueco, broken Spanish, I said, tenemos algo que da gratis para ti, pan. ¿Quieres pan? I started dialoguing with him. I threw him some Spanish down with him. Man, my tongue got loose. I started telling him about Jesus in Spanish. And I gave him bread. And that precious lady that said, you know, when I knocked on the door, they looked at me and I didn't know what was it. But she said it was like when you offered them something free, they were all willing. It was like a wall got broken down, and they said, they're going to give me something. And we gave them the bread of life. We gave them Jesus. We prayed for many of them. Many of the ladies went into the church, the kitchen of the apartments. It opened up a great door for us to have a conversation about Jesus and how God met them today. We'll do it again. How about next time you come? Let's get, instead of 50 loaves, how about 100 loaves for Marbach Manor? Amen. And give bread away, the bread of life. Amen. In closing, Rahab would say this. Listen to me. She would say this. God has blessed me so much. So God signs his name. He's the author of your story. So because of that, it's the best story that you ought to. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to thank you. Thank you, Jesus. God's been good to me. How about you? In Timothy, Paul wrote to his spiritual son, and he said, this is a trustworthy saying. Everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And look at Paul, man. Now we have cathedrals, St. Paul Cathedral. No, I'm the worst of them all. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his... Man, God had some patience with me. How about you? Amen. The worst of sinners. Though others realize that too, we can believe in him and receive eternal life. What does God want from me then? If he's going to give me all these benefits and he's going to write the best story of my life, a love story. What is God's going to want something? You know what Rahab would say? Rahab would say this. Rahab would say this. All honor, all glory go to God forever and ever. He is the King eternal and unseen, the one who dies. He alone is God. 1 Timothy 1:17. Amen. And all I can say is thank you. All I can say is not to you, but thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, you redeemed me. Thank you, Lord. Why don't you just right now begin to thank him? Thank him. Thank you. Thank him. I thank him. I'll do my thanksgiving. I do my thanksgiving. You do yours. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Come on, begin to thank him right now. Thank you, Jesus. You thank him, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I was backward, God. I was a reject, Lord. My family was so lost, God. I want to thank you, Lord. My father was an alcoholic, God, but he didn't die that way. He was redeemed, God. He was part of this church, Lord. I thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that my parents served this church, Lord. Thank you, God. My family didn't have to end up unredeemed. Lord, I thank you. You've been good to me, Lord. Thank you, God. You put a call on my life, Lord. You called me to be the pastor, the highest honor of my life. you can thank him too. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. You sent me. I found a beautiful bride, Lord, in Irma. Thank you, God, for my children. You can thank him too. Some of you have grandchildren. You've gone to that next level. Thank you, God, for my children, Andrew and Rebecca. Thank you, God. We celebrate Rebecca's birthday today. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. You've blessed me, Lord. You've blessed me more than I ever deserve. You've been good to me, God. Thank you, Jesus. As you stay in an attitude of prayer right now, why don't you give God the pen of your life right now, even as a Christian? And I just make a prayer over your life today. Father, the people that know you as Savior, would they make you Lord? Would they put you in charge of their life, Father? Thank you, Father. Would they go to the next level, Lord, for you? You do great things in people's lives, Father, that you write their story. And you'll do these within the servants of the Lord. For the people that have never said yes to Jesus, or they're far away as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I always want to give you an opportunity to receive Christ. And Christ can be, Jesus can be your Savior. Again, Paul said he was the worst of sinners, but Christ saved him. And Christ can do the same. Well, I'm not as bad as Hitler. I'm not as bad as that serial killer. Yeah, they'll stand before God in judgment one day. So will I, so will you. But ours can be a green light if you get saved today, if you receive Christ. And I'm not just doing this for the fire insurance. You do this because you're going to follow Jesus finally. You say yes to Christ today. I don't embarrass people when I do this. I ask that your hand slightly lifted and say, I want to follow Christ. I want to receive Christ as my Savior today. You need to say yes to Jesus. Be bold enough to lift your hand slightly. I'll note it. I won't call you up, but I'll note your hand. If that's you, would you lift your hand? Just God bless you, sir. I see your hand. You can put it down. Someone else, just making sure. I didn't see your hand. Yes, yes, yes. Just making sure. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. The benefit of that one man that lifted his hand, my brother right now, we pray this prayer together. The sinners that are saved by grace, let's pray it together along with my brother that lifted his hand. Lord Jesus, your blood redeems me. It saves me today. Thank you for a new beginning. You paid a price for all my sins. And I mean what I pray right now, Lord. I'll follow you all the days of my life. You won't be second choice. You'll be the first place, Lord, in my heart and life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You on Facebook Live, if you prayed that, let us know. Hit us up. You can send us a message or send a comment. I receive Christ. We'll pray for you also. Now lift your hands one more time, saints in this room. And if you're watching by internet right now, lift your hands just a little bit above your lap. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. And may the Lord give you his peace. Thank God for the peace of God. Come on, bless the Lord for that life that was saved. Redeemed today. Blessed be the name of Jesus today. Thank you, Father. If you receive Christ, please fill out a connection card. It's good for us to do that. We pray for you. We believe God for you. We won't knock on your door or do anything like that, but we will pray for you. I guarantee you that. And then next steps, for those of you that receive Christ especially, or you need a new start on even this year that's halfway now, 2018, would you begin the growing in faith process? You guys that are the worship team, come on up. I'm sorry I didn't call you up. I got lost out of my mind. Amen. So let's just come up and we'll finish up strong. Thank you guys. Wasn't the worship team outstanding today? Here they are. Amen. These are the survivors. Give me a good amen. Thank God for them. Amen. They're the second half. Amen. They go the second mile. Thank God for them today. Amen. Been here since 8 a.m. this morning. I thank God for them and their hard work today. Growing in Faith is a class that happens at 9 a.m. We thank God for it today. It's critical that you're part of that class, especially if you're a new believer. Get with me. I'll give you directions. I'll show you that. Or get with one of our elders. They'll give you information about that. We're going to receive our tithe and offering. There are a few ways to do that. They're on the big screen. I think three ways that we do it at Living Faith. You can do them, a couple of them, two of them, you can do them 24/7. You can be a continuous giver. One, you bring a check or cash thing, a credit check debit thing right outside that door out there. There'll be an usher out there that will help you do that, I believe. And let's just proclaim today that we're not going to have a struggling summer as a congregation. Give me a good amen. Would you be in agreement with me about that? That we're financially secure, our bills are paid, that Dennis Lindquist or Howard Verial won't have to worry about the bills being paid in this house. Give me a good amen. Amen. You're holding your tithe. Some of you are. Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. I'm going to hold mine too. If you have your giving device, which is your phone, you're going to do it text to give. Hold your device in your hand. Let's ask God to bless that phone. Amen. That it never shatters, breaks. Give me a good amen. It's a redeemed phone. Give me a good amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you. We bring our tithe back today. And we bring it back to the house of the Lord. We honor you with our tithe, God. We honor you extravagantly with our love offerings. Thank you for a generous church called Living Faith, Lord. We not only support Malaysia, we support Jamaica. We support the uttermost parts of the ends of the earth, God, because of a church that could and would and respond to God's call. So thank you, Jesus. The best is yet to come. God has been good to you. Amen. Let's stand and worship God with our giving. Let's stand and as we sing the songs of faith right now. God bless you as you give.
We ain't got a drummer, so feel free to put your hands together if you want.
You are the flame that's growing deep inside. You are the blazing passion in my eyes. You are the aching shut up in my bones. You are the